Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 85, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Lakeisha Cole of SheSwank.com, an online boutique for girls. Lakeisha is a military spouse and has managed to grow her business through multiple deployments that her husband has had with the military. And we recorded this interview with Lakeisha and her family stationed in Japan. I think this qualifies as our longest distance recording to date, so that's pretty fun. Lakeisha has lots of useful information to share, so let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Lakeisha Cole. Lakeisha is the founder of SheSwank.com, which is an online boutique for girls ages 2 to 5. This is definitely the episode to listen to if you feel like you're too busy or just too stressed to start that business you've been dreaming about, because Lakeisha started her business 6 years ago while sitting in her tiny apartment, unemployed, with a one-year-old. And add to that a deployed Marine spouse and her family 2,000 miles away. So whatever is standing in your way, you can totally do this. And I hope you'll be encouraged after hearing Lakeisha's story. Just to give you some numbers, since then, she's grown her business to include over 6,800 customers, over 17,000 products sold. She's since gone through 3 deployments and 3 moves. One being across the world to Japan, which is actually where Lakeisha is right now. So, Lakeisha, we're so excited to hear more from you and hear your story. Welcome to the show.
Yay, thank you for having me.
Lakeisha, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and how your business got started?
Absolutely. I'm an East Coast girl, born and raised in Virginia. I'm the oldest of 12.
Wow.
Blended family, I know. Blended family, but we're all very close. I started my entrepreneur journey, as you mentioned in the intro, a little over 6 years ago. As a kid, I kind of always knew that I wanted to have something of my own, but I didn't really know in what capacity that would sort of unfold for me. So I pursued a career in journalism, a career as a professional writer. I've worked for a local government and the federal government over the course of my military spouse life. You know, you PCS at different bases, you kind of fall into whatever job is available, because your career path isn't always portable. But I've had some great jobs in the past, but it got to a point where I really knew that it just wasn't for me. It wasn't what I really wanted to do. So I came up with the idea of starting my own boutique. I actually started in women's apparel back in 2009. And once I had my daughter, I kind of fell in love with the whole world of children's apparel. So we transitioned to children's apparel in 2011 as a way to sort of introduce my daughter, Kaylee, who was 5 at the time, introduce her to entrepreneurship. So she was very involved in the products that we selected, the colors, the prints, the patterns, everything. I wanted to pass that gift on to her at a very young age, so that when she became of age, she would have this as an option in addition to wanting to be a doctor, a lawyer, or right now she wants to, her career choice is to be a babysitter. I swear it changes every month. But we wanted to make sure that she had options. So from there, we launched into e-commerce. That's where we've got most of our success. We started our website, started selling to friends and family, and it really just grew from there, really grew from word of mouth.
Great. So can you tell us a little bit more about those early days? I know you said that word of mouth helped a ton. Was there something you were doing that really wowed your customers and then they were spreading the word, or were there, you know, a few other strategies that you used to market early on?
I think what helped early on was really connecting with my customers. I know now it seems like, you know, we're in this phase of where we're collecting Facebook fans or Twitter followers or Instagram lovers, and not really connecting. We're collecting but not connecting. And I think doing that early on really helped us grow our business, not just in the sense of connecting them with what's trending and what's popular, but connecting them with something, with an item That's really for them. Maybe they're going to the Marine Corps ball, or maybe they're preparing for their husbands to come home or first birthday. You know, finding that special item, that special dress or that special necklace that sort of connects them to the moment that's special to them.
Just to clarify, because I know I saw on your website maybe early on, were you actually attending selling your goods at live events, and then you've slowly transitioned into more of an e-commerce business?
Yes, I actually use live events to sort of promote my business. So craft shows, trade shows, vendor fairs, great way to connect with your local customers, with the families that are in that area. We've sort of done it all. We started off, I didn't do my first trade show until we PCS'd to Virginia. And that was one of the local craft shows hosted by one of the high schools in the city that we lived in. And we used those opportunities to figure out exactly, you know, what our customers wanted, what was popular, what are people buying, what are they gravitating to. Of course, we were in it for the sales, but we used those opportunities, market research, to figure out, you know, what type of items we wanted to carry, to even figure out price points. Sometimes that it's hard to determine, you know, what a customer is willing to pay for a product. So we use all of those live selling opportunities to gather research to determine those things.
So do you have any tips on attending trade shows for someone who maybe hasn't done that before? And I know you, so you've attended those both to sell your clothing and your products, but also as a buyer. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes. One of my favorite trade shows is the Magic Trade Show. It's held every year in Las Vegas, and it's sort of the who's who of fashion. You can find anything from the fabric that you need to produce your product to finished product. All of the hottest brands are there. The top designers are there. All the power buyers are there. Even if you're not in a position to go to buy, it's still the prime opportunity to go to network and to actually go to see what's coming. I always tell people you want to stay in tune with what's trending in your industry. And one of the ways to do that is to attend the trade shows.
So a boutique seller such as yourself can attend large trade shows like this and make purchases even though you're not buying in enormous quantities. I guess I always assumed that you had to be ready to buy huge if you were buying at a trade show.
I think there's a market for everyone. I think there's a place for everyone at these trade shows. It really just depends on the individual designer or that business. I didn't start buying in larger quantities until about 2 years ago. So I sought sort of indie designers who didn't mind selling smaller quantities to me so that I could test it out with my customer base, see if it's something that they like, see if it's something they would buy. And then from there, we develop a personal plan, a personal agreement of how I would be able to buy in larger quantities. So I always say, don't discount yourself out. The little man, we always feel like we're too small to compete or too small to participate. But, you know, you could take a year to go and sort of explore the grounds and see how these transactions actually happen. And then the next year you go with the plan on how you can actually participate in the buying process.
That's excellent advice. And I'm curious, too, when you first started, Lakeisha, how much funds did you need to get that first bit of inventory to get your business going?
Well, I appreciated the start small concept. I actually started my business with a $500 investment from my husband's E6 paycheck. When I launched my business, I only had 10 different items. So I had 60, in terms of quantity, I had 60 pieces. But I had 10 different selections. And to me, that was a good start. I wanted to test it out before I actually invested in the idea, and that was the great way to do it. So I didn't start with a large sum of money. I was afraid that, you know, given the lifestyle that we live, we move so often, I wanted to make sure that it was something that I was going to really stick to. So I decided to take that $500. I purchased my domain name. I purchased a website, which was actually a template. It wasn't even a custom website. I had someone design the logo, and then I hopped in my car in Oceanside, California, and I hit the interstate, and I drove to Los Angeles to the garment district. I walked the garment district for hours trying to figure out, okay, so which shop am I going to buy from, who's going to allow me to purchase the most amount of merchandise for the least amount of money. So I went to different showrooms, and I picked certain garments that I wanted to start off with, and that was it. It was the $500. It was the 60 pieces that I was able to secure with that little bit of money, and I gradually built from there. Once I sold that merchandise, then I went back for more, and I just kept repeating that cycle until I was able to build my inventory up to enough to where I felt like I was offering a larger selection to my customer base.
I love that story. That's fantastic how you set a limit for yourself and you just hit the pavement, literally.
I did.
Finding those great items. That's wonderful. So we noticed on your website that your product photography is really well done. Is that something that you do yourself, or do the vendors you buy from, do they supply the photography of their items?
Both. I'm actually getting into learning more about product photography, pretty much what sells your item nowadays. But I do have great vendors that take great product photography that do share when I purchase certain items. They will share their images with me.
I noticed on your website that you recently started a subscription box service.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit more about how that's going, or why you decided to start the subscription box service in addition to your boutique?
Absolutely. The OMG box. The OMG box is a curated accessory box for girls. You can purchase just once, or you can have it delivered to your home monthly. We came up with this idea, again, it came out of doing some market research with our in-store customers, because we actually have a store through the exchange here as well. And one of the things that they kept giving us feedback on is that they wanted more bundle deals. They wanted to be able to buy more accessories, but at a discounted rate, which we are more than happy to offer. But we thought the subscription idea would be fun for them, and then it would be a great way for us to sort of tap into other customer bases as well. My daughter and my sister actually came up with the name of it. I didn't even question. I said, okay, OMG Box, we're just going to roll with that. It sounded great. It's fun. It's catchy. And it's doing really well 2 months in.
That's great. And I have to say, too, I know I don't have a little girl, but my son Holden is so excited anytime he gets something in the mail. So I can only imagine a little girl opening up a box and getting, you know, adorable accessories and jewelry and things like that. So
yes, my daughter says it's like it's your birthday every month. Yes, it really is.
That's so true. Now, I have to dig into this. You said that now you have a store within the exchange. So
yes.
That's like the Marine Corps Exchange on base?
Yes, AFEES.
Okay. And that's in Japan?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us about that? How does one even begin to get into the Marine Corps Exchange?
Oh, well, it's actually the Army and Air Force Exchange, but the process for me was a bit lengthy. I actually started connecting with them prior to PCS into Okinawa, maybe about 6 months before we actually got here. The response was a little slow, but, you know, I later learned of the rules and regulations that come along with a military dependent actually conducting business with the exchange. I'm one of three military spouses who is currently contracted to do business here in Okinawa with the exchange, and it's basically a short-term vendor contract. We compete for our space monthly, and they rotate vendors in. They actually rotate different vendors in every month from all over the world. I've been with AFEES for almost 2 years now, and it's been fantastic. It's my first brick-and-mortar experience, so that has been a different experience altogether. But we've connected with a lot of customers. We've been able to bring in styles that the exchange doesn't offer. So we're able to provide the customer base here with something that they can't get off base or on base for that matter. And we've gotten a lot of great feedback from it.
Has it been difficult to staff that brick and mortar location?
Yes, it is, because we PCS a lot. And it always seems like when I get the perfect employee, you know, 3 months down the road, they get orders somewhere else. So I do have a high rotation rate for that reason alone.
I know that I've heard somebody tell me what this means before, but since I am non-military, refresh me on PCS again, what that means.
Permanent change of station is when your husband receives orders to another base.
Got it.
Yes.
And also, because I'm not as familiar with the military community, Could you maybe describe to me a little bit more, like, is the exchange all in one building and there's various vendors in one building, or is it a separate store on base? Or I'm just having a hard time understanding the exchange atmosphere.
The exchange here is sort of like our shopping mall. So the one that's on Camp Foster, there's one building where you have the main exchange, and then there's sort of an annex that's next door to the main exchange where they set up all of their different vendors to sell. But then if you drive down the road up to Kadena, it's a much larger shopping facility, and all of their vendors are located in that same facility on the bottom floor of the exchange. So I think it varies base to base in terms of setup, but not every exchange allows vendors to sell. I know on the Marine Corps bases, you see less vendor selling opportunities. You tend to see more on the Army and Air Force side.
And can non-military people go to the exchange, or is it just reserved for military?
It's reserved for military, or it's reserved for those with a valid military ID card.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that's super helpful, Sarah, that you had those questions, because as a military spouse, you don't think about, like, I'm sitting over here like, oh, that's true. Like,
yeah.
There are plenty of people listening to this podcast who would be like, wait, what's the exchange? What's this about? Yeah, and the way I would describe an exchange, and Lakeisha's right too, it can vary a lot from base to base, like what the exchange looks like, but it's kind of like a little department store. And so you walk in and there'll be like your electronics section and your clothing section. And, but yeah, some are much bigger than others, but they're pretty much always on the base. So you can't get on a military base unless you have a military ID. So.
And one of the reasons why I decided to make this transition into brick and mortar and actually sell with the exchange is when you PCS overseas, I don't think many spouses take into, I don't think they consider the many restrictions that are on us for being stationed overseas in terms of conducting our business. So there are heavy restrictions in terms of like receiving your goods and shipping your goods. And when we PCS here and I learned of all the restrictions, you know, I was sort of faced with, well, do I just completely shut my business down altogether? And if not, how can I make this work? So partnering with the exchange and being able to open a store there gave me the opportunity that I needed to continue my business. Otherwise, I may not have been able to sustain it in the same manner that I was able to do so in the States.
That brings up another point I was curious about, the shipping. Are you still shipping from Japan to customers in the United States, or have you found somebody in the United States that's helping you out with the shipping from your online site?
A little bit of both. We do have FedEx here. We do have Japan Post here that are both efficient and pretty quick with getting merchandise to customers in the States. But I also do have e-fulfillment help in the States that can fulfill stateside orders and get them to the customers there much quicker.
What is e-fulfillment help? Is that a service company?
It's a service. There are actually companies all over the country whose role is to, you can ship your products to them and they can distribute them out to your customers. So they'll actually physically store your product in their warehouse and then they ship them out to your customers. So it's as if it's coming from you, but it's actually coming from the e-fulfillment center. So it's like having your own little mini distribution center.
Like a mini Amazon.
Yes, like a mini Amazon.
Cool.
Yeah.
I had no idea that those services were available, so that's really neat.
Yes, they're available, and I highly encourage it, especially for our OCONUS military spouses who are stationed abroad and have those heavy restrictions in terms of receiving and shipping their goods.
So, Lakeisha, how did you find your e-fulfillment service company? Was it as easy as a Google search, or was there a little more that went into that?
I actually connected with my mentor, and he suggested that I had sort of reached a point in my business where I really need to figure out if I'm going to stay here or if I'm going to grow forward. And he suggested that I actually look into an e-fulfillment service. He gave me a couple of leads, and it really was as simple as a Google search. I reached out to three or four of them and then narrowed it down and figured out which one I felt like worked best for my business.
So before your deployment, not to beat this topic to death, but it's very interesting. So before your deployment, did you have to load up on tons of inventory and get it to your e-fulfillment service before you left for Japan?
No, I didn't. And in hindsight, I wish I would have done that. I was one of the spouses who didn't really factor in how restrictive it was here to operate a business. So me giving this advice is something that I've sort of learned the hard way, and would love to help any other spouse who's in this position not have to experience that. So I did not stock up before I PCS because I didn't think business as usual would change that much. When in fact it changed everything. It changed everything for the better because I have gained experience in dealing with customs, having to negotiate in different currency, importing taxes, and all of those things that we don't really factor into running a retail business because when we're in the States, everything's at our disposal. So now that I'm here, I'm having to learn all of those steps along the way.
Sounds like a big task to learn all of that. And I'm sure while you were going through it, it didn't feel like, wow, this is really worth it to learn all this stuff. But in hindsight, now you've gained all this extra knowledge and information. So
yeah.
Is that maybe part of the reason why you developed the, let me get this right, Mill Spousepreneur website and group in Japan to help other people going through similar problems with their business?
Yes. When I moved here, I noticed that there was a lack of community that sort of fostered or encouraged the entrepreneur activity. It just wasn't here. I missed going to my chamber events and missed going to my local meetup groups and just really connecting with other entrepreneurs. So I decided to create that space for myself. In the beginning, I think I was kind of selfish. It was something that I needed. So once I started to meet other like-minded professionals, then I decided that, okay, I'm not the only one who needs this sort of networking and this connection with other business owners, and I'm not the only one who needs this information. So I created the Mill Spouse Okinawa Facebook group, and we just started building and connecting from there. It's a learned, shared environment where we all sort of ask our questions and get answers and get feedback from each other on the different products and services, and maybe there's a process that, you know, someone is trying to figure out. We all help each other tremendously.
That's awesome. And I can certainly speak to the power of the military spouse community for sure, the connections you can make. And especially too, I'm pretty jealous, I have to say, that you're able to connect with other military spouses who are entrepreneurs. That's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Is the Okinawa, Japan military community, is it really big? It seems like it would have to be really big to support all of these different groups.
Yes, there are, there may be 5 or 6 different bases on this island that make up the U.S. military presence here. So it's pretty big. There are thousands of families here.
Okay, that's bigger than I realized. I didn't know there were so many different bases all located there with so many different families.
Lakeisha, with everything you have going on and 2 children, as well as being a military spouse, that alone can feel like a huge job. How do you get everything done? What does a typical day look like for you?
Oh, wow. The work-life balance. My typical work day, it depends. I learned to sort of not beat myself up over not being able to get everything done all the time. So when people ask me, how do I balance it all? Short answer is, I don't. On Monday, I may choose to be mom, which you're mom every day, but then, you know, sometimes certain things take precedence over others. On Tuesday, I may choose to work on my website. On Wednesday, I may choose to do networking events. On Thursday, I may choose to do something else. My schedule is very important. Nothing works without my schedule being in sync. But I choose to just break those different responsibilities down into different days, and I do what I can when I can so that I don't drive myself crazy. I used to try to figure out how to get every single thing done every minute, every hour of the day. It's just not possible. So I always tell moms, cut yourself some slack. give yourself a break when needed. And if you don't finish it today, it'll be right there waiting for you tomorrow.
While you're trying to manage everything and juggle all of the plates that you have spinning in the air, are there any online tools or apps that you tend to rely on to keep everything straight?
I'm growing on Evernote. Have you guys tried Evernote?
Yes.
Yeah. I love Evernote because I can type my notes. If I have a blog post in mind or I'm out and about and I see something that inspires me, I can take a picture, type my notes, and I can keep it all in this little electronic notebook so that I can refer back to it when I get to my computer to work on it some more. So that's sort of my go-to app right now is Evernote. I love it.
Same here. Lakeisha, can you tell us about getting on the Today Show? That just seems like such an incredible accomplishment. How did that happen?
Well, I was actually invited on the Today Show with Kathleen Hoda as a result to me winning the Military Spouse of the Year Award, sponsored by Armed Forces Insurance. I was a nervous wreck, I have to tell you, but it was a wonderful experience. I got to talk about, you know, my family, how we live as a military family, and I also got to showcase my business and some of the products in our store.
That's awesome. And congratulations on winning Military Spouse of the Year. That's incredible.
Thank you.
Just that. How did that come to be? How did they find you and learn about all the different things that you were doing?
I was actually nominated for the award by my husband. And then it goes through a selection process, and there's a peer-to-peer voting round. And then some of the senior leadership spouses and Victory Media staff, and they have a board that selects the final winner.
That's so sweet that your husband nominated you for that.
Yeah.
That's really nice. He must appreciate all the hard work that you're doing.
He does, and he's super supportive. I have to say that I would not have been able to accomplish any of what I've been able to accomplish in the past 6 or 7 years if I did not have him in my corner. He's my biggest cheerleader.
That's so good to hear.
So, Lakeisha, with everything that you have accomplished in your personal life and with your business, is there one thing that you are the most proud of?
Oh, the most proud of? One thing? That's hard. I would probably say being a mom. You know, I have two daughters, almost a decade apart. I have a 9-year-old. She'll be 10 in May. And then there's baby Kirby, who is 8 months old. And I would say that's probably the one thing that I'm most proud of. I love being a mom. I love everything about it. But being able to still fulfill that role the best way I know how and still being able to pursue my business and my career and my dream and have it all magically work in some odd way, it's really important to me. I love it.
Lakeisha, I know we've talked a little bit about how your business grew in those early days, but is there anything in terms of marketing that is just really working right now to grow your business?
I always tell people you can't not be on social media. It's sort of the way of the world now. But for me, it's all about engaging, equipping, and empowering. I read an article in Forbes magazine not too long ago. And it talked about the importance of engaging with your fans. You know, you want to make sure you feel like you're giving your fans the gift of you. You know, you want to engage with them and you want to listen to what they're telling you. You want to give them reasons to talk. It could be an amazing product. You can have a great service. You could be an expert in your field. But you want to make sure that you're equipping them with that information. And then you also want to empower. You want to give your consumers different ways to talk about your products or your service, and you want them to share with others. So that's essentially how, you know, we get most of our customers. So yeah, that's what I would want to pass on.
Is there one social media outlet that tends to generate the most traffic for you?
Facebook, and it's probably because it's probably the one that I put the most effort into it. Even with all of the Facebook changes, with the whole algorithm changes and not being able to reach, you know, a certain amount of people or reach a certain core or demographic of the people that you would like to reach, I still find myself putting more effort into Facebook. I'm new to Instagram, and I'm actually liking Instagram more, so I will start putting more efforts towards Instagram in the very near future.
You know, I was just thinking, Lakeisha, with your adorable children's wear, that Instagram would be awesome for you guys. This is how my brain works. I'm just always churning with ideas. But, and even I did notice on your Instagram feed, you have, you know, people sharing about their OMG boxes that they're getting and things like that, which is awesome. We recently interviewed someone who's really using Instagram to do a lot with her business. And she does, you know, partners with other shop owners to do loop giveaways and things like that. And yeah, I could just see that working really well for your brand.
Yes, it's all about the Instagram nowadays, especially for retail businesses.
Well, as we wrap up, Lakeisha, could you share a fun or adorable mom moment that you've had recently with your girls?
Mom moment. Easter egg hunting. We went to a unit function last weekend. So it was Kirby's first time actually sitting in the grass. So looking at her facial expressions on her, touching the texture of the grass and trying to figure out what in the world is this. So we all decided to get down on the ground with her and sit in the grass with her. And it just tickled my heart just to see something so simple just bring such a smile to her face. Yeah, that was a pretty fun mom moment.
That's cute.
Well, thank you so much, Lakeisha, for taking the time to chat with us. We've learned so much, and I'm still amazed at how you've grown your business through deployments and moves and the challenges of being international and everything. If you could share one more time for our listeners, where is the best place for them to find you online?
You can find us online at SheSwank.com. You can find us on Facebook at SheSwank, and we're also on Instagram at SheSwank.
Excellent. Thanks again, Lakeisha. This was so much fun.
Thank you guys for having me.
For the show notes, head to BrilliantBusinessMoms.com/85. And in the comments, I would love to hear from other military spouses or other people that have just had to move a lot about what businesses you have been able to sustain despite the constant moving. How do you manage to take your business from one place to another? What type of business do you have that you've been able to transport from different parts of the country or different parts of the world? I would love to hear your stories, so please chime in on the comments. I want to read a review we got on iTunes. And first of all, thank you so much to anybody who has given us a review of our podcast on iTunes. We truly appreciate that. This review is from Two Hens and a Chick. She says, "So I'm a mom only of fur babies. So I wasn't sure at first about this podcast and how it would impact working on my business. But they have great tips and do great interviews that can be applied to building your business, even if your babies are furry." Thank you so much for taking the time to write that review. I'm so pleased to hear that our interviews are helpful. And I loved this review because although we are the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, and that is our niche and our focus, we love women in all stages of life and want to encourage any woman to pursue her dreams and to build that business. Men too, but we feel that connection to women of all types in all stages of life. And although we do focus on moms in the podcast, we want you to know that if you are single or married or a grandma or no matter what age you are, we want to be here for you. And we are glad that you're listening. Even if you just have fur babies. I really appreciated that review and that she took the time to mention that on iTunes. We want to be here for all of you, and we certainly don't want to exclude anybody for not having children or only having fur babies. I hope you're having a really great day, and thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.